Now on C-SPAN Radio, Negative World presents the International Boogerman Summit.
Hello and welcome to the International American Boogerman National Summit. My name is Guillaume. I am representing Canada.
My name is Chris Wright, and I'm representing the United States of America.
This is Santi, a.k.a. Gelatinous Encore, and I'm representing Argentina. Hell yeah.
Excellent.
Yep.
So every country that matters is here.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, so we are reunited here to talk about Boogerman. For obvious reasons, I think. It's kind of a hot topic lately.
Yeah, it's pretty much one of the best games of all time. We all know this.
I mean, yeah, and there's been this resurgence in the media of Boogerman-related topics,
right,
and questions. I don't know. Like, so we just wanted to strike while the iron was hot.
I think they're making an HD reboot, probably.
Oh, the rumor starts here.
Well, they did, you know, Interplay did remake Earthworm Jim, so I'm sure that Boogerman is, like, next, really soon.
I'm sure.
Boogerman in Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U. We have no announcement to make today, folks, but it could be possible.
Excellent. All right, so it's actually Boogerman Week this week on Negative World, and Chris Wright, you have posted a review for the game.
Yes, glowing review of Boogerman.
Yeah, so, you know, talk to us a bit about your experience.
I never played Boogerman back in the day. It was a game that I noticed. It was a game that stuck out, you know, from the crowd when it came out. But it was not a game that I ever played. It came out in 1994, and so I guess I was about 16 when it came out. And for me, I wasn't in that demographic, so I didn't play it then. So over the years, I forgot about it, and just recently we were talking about it on Negative World, and I just started thinking, man, maybe we need to play this game. You know, maybe this game will turn out to be something really special, really funny, really clever. You know, maybe I just missed it the first time around. And so I went down to a local buyback store, looked a man in the eye, and said, "Give me Boogerman for the SNES." And I paid $20 for it. And he took my $20. I took his copy of Boogerman. He laughed at me as I was leaving. And I got home and I found out why he laughed at me.
Oh, wow. Okay, I did not know that part of the story. I did not know that it cost you $20.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Really, I am, because like I probably helped push you over the edge, you know, like because every time someone would bring up Boogerman on the forums, you would be, "Oh, like this terrible game, like I can't believe that it even exists," and I would be like, "Well, you know, I kind of want to play it anyway," and so it's probably all my fault.
Yeah, but I did my part too, because it was 4 a.m. and I've actually been on some medication. And so I was 4 a.m, a little delirious from the hour, a little delirious from the medication. And I got this idea. I was like, "Guillaume, let's do it. You know, you were talking about it. You know, I'll go out and find a copy of it. Let's do it." And when I woke up, you had completely committed to it. So it was too late to back out.
So basically, you said you played the Super Nintendo version, right? So mm-hmm. you have no knowledge of the Genesis version.
Nope, other than just clips that I've seen on YouTube. Now, it seems like they're very similar. Didn't we discover that, Guillaume, that they're actually really close?
Yeah, from what I could tell, they're exactly the same. And like the Genesis version is even like, you know, 6-button compatible. Well, it uses 4, but you know, like that's one more than a regular controller can use. So like there's like the extra button that makes your Boogerman just like strike a pose and say "Booger." It is there in the Genesis version.
Yeah, yes.
There's nothing missing. It's just like the logo at the beginning, you know, like Boogerman is, you know, brings the S of the Sega logo you know, flying with one of his super farts. And that's the only thing that's missing from the SNES version. And also, I read that the passwords in the SNES versions version is shorter, and that's basically it.
Yeah.
Also, I guess that like when I watched videos for the SNES version on YouTube, the music was didn't sound the same. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty normal thing usually. Because like the SNES and the Genesis sound processors were so different.
So that was basically my experience, was taking it home and playing the physical cart. I played it all the way through, the SNES version, and I thought it was pretty mediocre as a game.
Yeah, but first, like, didn't you have like this initial shock that it wasn't pure crap?
My feeling was I was looking for one of two things. I either wanted it to be a really, really great game or pure crap. I really wanted it to be one of the extremes, because if it was total crap, then I could just laugh all the way through and it would be great. But if
it would
be
something special.
Yeah, exactly. It would be one of those. Yeah, because everybody, sometimes you get a game that's so bad that it becomes incredibly memorable, and everybody knows those games. And this was not one of those games. But it also wasn't like Earthworm Jim quality either. And so I ended up being kind of frustrated, because on one level it's a pretty decent game, not particularly remarkable, but maybe a little sort of below average, but not well below average. Platformer from the period.
Well, that's the description you just made. It sounds exactly like my opinion of Earthworm Jim. I don't think that game is very good, actually. I mean, like, you fire bullets and you can't even see the bullets coming out of the gun. You just see, like, I don't know, it's kind of clunky. I don't like that game very much.
Yeah, I haven't played Earthworm Jim in like 12 years, so actually I really don't know how I'd feel about it today. Now, I was going to say, looking at some footage online, it seemed to do some of the same things as Boogerman, just better. But that's speaking from the position of someone just watching a video, not someone actually controlling it. So, I really can't say what I would think about Boogerman.
Yeah, I actually never played it back in the day. I played it like on the Virtual Console, I think. Yeah, on the Virtual Console like a couple of years ago. And I don't know, I didn't like it very much. It doesn't control very well. Like, the art direction and the humor is pretty good, especially for the time it came out. But yeah. I don't know, I just wasn't too thrilled about it.
Yeah, Earthworm Jim, though, like, as you know, all those things you say about it are correct. But Boogerman is just like one step below that on every level. At least.
Oh, sure. I'm not saying Boogerman is better. I was just throwing out there that I don't think Earthworm Jim is that good of a game. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I'm sure Boogerman is worse. Come on.
Santi, you should tell everybody what your experience was with the game. Now, when did you first encounter Boogerman?
Right. I first encountered Boogerman on the Genesis back in, I think it was 1995, maybe early 96. I don't remember. I was like five, six years old, and like I had a Genesis. I was a Sega kid. I had to throw that out there. And I had a couple Genesis games, not too many. Some of them were my brother's, but I had three games that I played a lot for a short period of time. One was Sonic 2, which is a very important game for me. And two was The Lion King on the Sega Genesis, which is actually a good game. I went back to it like last year, and it's pretty decent. And the third one was Boogerman, which... I don't even remember if it's good or not, but I actually played it quite a bit when I was a kid, and it always amused me. Like, there's like a burp attack that you hold, like, I think it's the C button on the Sega Genesis, and like you charge up your burp and like your chin gets bigger and then you throw like a burp. That was so funny. But I don't even know if the game is a good platformer or not. I don't remember very much.
So you say you owned this game back as a kid?
I used to, yeah. I don't know where it is.
So did you get picked on?
That's funny.
I'm sorry.
Was it a game that you picked out?
That was a good one.
I mean, my brother
picked it up. Like, I was too young at the time. I didn't buy games, but my brother bought it. I have no idea why. I should ask him. But is that a burp attack in the Super Nintendo version? Because that's like the best part of the game for me. Like,
yeah. That burp attack is in there. I found the burp attack kind of frustrating to use, though, because you do have to charge it up. And even though the enemies aren't like, you know, killer and really fast, it's still sometimes.
But while you charge it up, like, your chain gets bigger and bigger. At least for a 5-year-old, it was pretty funny.
Not even for a 30-year-old.
When were you first aware of the game?
I was first aware of the game through the ads on whatever magazines I was reading at the time. It's hard to explain. Like, I too was a little bit too old to find the concept of farting man really all that appealing. But I think that the hype, the sheer hype surrounding the game, like just through like the marketing that it got, still made me think like perhaps I'm missing something here. Perhaps like this phenomenon is passing me by, and I'm missing out on something great. So that's why I've always wanted to, you know, check it out. I mean, it was by Interplay, who also made Earthworm Jim, which was also really, really hyped. So, you know, why not?
And then you got to play the game and discovered that it deserved all of that hype, right?
No, not exactly. I don't know what I was expecting. I think I was just expecting a really an entertaining game. And I didn't really get that. there was the initial shock of discovering that it played well and was like really pretty for what it is, like at least the animation. But then you realize that you're just like going through the motions, and it's not really that interesting. And is it just me, or is there like a crap load of stuff to collect in this game?
Yeah.
And there's absolutely no point in it. Like the plungers, you have to collect 30 to gain an extra life. But if you die, like you lose all of them, it's way too much trouble.
I think the plungers took you to a bonus level on the Genesis game, because at the end of every stage, you built like a ladder with the
It just got you an extra life. That's all. Oh. Like you would build a ladder, but it was just like get you to a bonus life.
How disappointing! I thought it got you to like a bonus level.
No, and like the levels are really huge. And yeah, again, like there's a crap load of stuff to collect, but like, do you really want to spend more time than you have to in each of these levels? I didn't.
Yeah, and if you did happen to die, you lost everything, you know. Or even if you got halfway through and you stepped on one of those outhouse checkpoints, you notice if you die after that, you know, you fall down a hole or something, you lose all the plungers you had even up to the checkpoint. So if you want to get that extra life, you would have to go back through the entire level and collect all the plungers again. I mean, that kind of defeats the purpose of having the checkpoint. So I got, after the first couple of levels, I just stopped worrying about them, to be honest.
I have a question about the game. How long is it? Because, like, is it decently long for a Sega Genesis or a Super Nintendo game, or what? Because I can't remember at all.
I don't think so. It took me a little over 3 hours to complete the whole game, I think. Maybe between 3 and 4 hours, at least.
Yeah, same here. It's not that long at all, but it feels long.
Well, because it's quite repetitive. I mean, you end up playing, you know, multiple levels that all look the same, and then you move to the next one. And one of the other frustrating things is that the ending levels are not any more difficult than the beginning levels. In fact, in a way, the first levels are maybe even tougher than the very last few levels. And that's kind of it tends to make the game feel like all the same, you know, except with just slightly different graphics. You know, the gameplay doesn't change at all. From start to finish.
Nope. And the your attacks, like, you don't gain any new moves, and your attacks stay the same, and it's always a matter of flicking boogers at enemies that are, you know, just in front of you.
Sounds like a painfully mediocre game.
That's a good way to put it, actually. What do you think about the boss battles? I think Guillaume and I both agree that they're pretty tough, right, Guillaume?
Yeah, definitely the hardest part of this game, except for the final boss, which is a pushover, really. Mm-hmm. But I started over and over and over again. Unfortunately, when you die against the boss, like, you get a password, and you start right away at that boss. You know, you don't have to do the levels again and again. So I think that probably the developer knew that the bosses were too hard, but they just, like, didn't bother changing the difficulty or anything, like tweaking it. They were just like, yeah, okay, let's just give them infinite tries.
Yeah, I don't mind hitting that start button over again, but I do wonder how someone your age, GE, when you were first playing it, you know, found those boss battles. Do you remember those? Do you happen to remember?
I don't think I ever found them. I think I played like even not even I didn't even beat the first level. I think I don't remember much, but I just I think I just played the first level over and over.
Well, you know, that doesn't surprise me at all, because I did start the first level over and over again before I realized that going for all the knickknacks was just asking for trouble for no reason. And from the moment that I decided to just rush through the levels, it was much easier. One thing that really struck me about this game is just how much they didn't really seem to try to push the envelope. Like, it's as if the developer just thought, like, ha, boogers, farts, that's cool. So we're going to put, like, you know, like some one of each for each attack or something like that. And that's going to be funny enough of its own. But the game didn't really, you know, go far enough, as far as I'm concerned. Because back then, like, in the mid-90s, kids were watching Ren and Stimpy, a show where you could have a cat, you know, have a pet fart. And, you know, like you did see close-ups of boogers at some point. I remember that distinctly. And they were way more gross than anything in this game. Yeah. And so it's kind of a missed opportunity, you know? Like they could have had, instead of a button that makes Boogerman pose and say booger, like it could have just made like different fart sounds. And that would have been infinitely more entertaining.
I agree. I mean, this is 10 years after the Garbage Pail Kids, right? You know, or something like that. I mean, some of this ground had been covered to a large degree before. So, I mean, I can't imagine that there were too many people scandalized by Boogerman.
Yeah. Except perhaps French Canadians, because I had no idea what the Garbage Pail Kids were until I read the review.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys didn't get them up there?
Well, not in Quebec, I don't think. Or maybe my parents really, really were effective in sheltering me.
Did they make it to Argentina, Santi? Well, you were a little young.
No.
They never made it there?
Yeah, no. I don't remember that. I don't know.
I didn't pull that out of nowhere. The Garbage Pail Kids, I mean, were mentioned in an interview with the lead designer. And he did mention that, you know, they were going for the Garbage Pail Kid demographic. The thing is that, you know, like I said, that was like 10 years earlier that had been done. And Boogerman isn't near as extreme as those were. And so in a way, I have to agree with Guillaume about that it doesn't feel like it goes as far as you would expect a sort of mid-90s, well, a game called Boogerman, surely, you know?
Absolutely.
That was before the rating system also. So like they could have put gross stuff in there and, you know, it would have been fine, especially on the Sega Genesis.
If you had jalapenos and beans for every meal, you'd have an atomic butt blast too. Booger Man for Sega Genesis. Hey, boogers aren't his only weapon.
Wasn't me.
You know, like this was like a huge, like as I mentioned, there was like a pretty big marketing push. Like there were commercials on TV, and there was also a big like multi-page ad in magazines, and so like they were really behind this game, and not only that, but like it was a 24 megabit cartridge. Mm-hmm. That was like one of the most expensive cartridges to have produced. Like for comparison's sake, like that was the size of the Super Metroid cartridge, and like there's absolutely, except for the animation, there's nothing that would hint at that in Boogerman. You know, that it would take up so much space. That and like the digitized speech, which they had to have like three voice directors to get apparently.
The 10 lines that are in it, yeah.
Yeah, so like lots of misplaced priorities and lots of I don't know, in some ways like they went too far, like they really saw big, and in so many other perhaps more important aspects, they just completely dropped the ball or didn't seem like they cared.
Wonderful.
I'm sorry. I was about to mute my mic, and I thought, well, it would be appropriate.
That's actually pretty funny. You should leave it in.
Very nice. Maybe we've just discovered the secret identity of Boogerman, Santi.
Oops.
Well, your user colors are light green, so it would make sense.
This is true. Oh my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Maybe I was a bit too obvious there.
Do you want to get into the whole, like Boogerman Week thing you have going in Negative World? Like, do you want to touch upon the art contest or explain what that is?
Do you
want to just talk about Boogerman?
I think that the contest speaks for itself. No, it was just a silly idea. See, like you saw Chris's review for Boogerman, and obviously he's one talented guy who can draw napkins, and I have no such talent. So I decided to just hire the talent of everyone else, and it's just like, yeah, just trying to one-up him, really. That's all it is.
Is this, yeah, there's a sort of seedy underside to this, which is you and me, Guillaume, competing to see who can, I don't know, punish themselves the most with Boogerman. I don't know.
Yeah, like as I was telling someone just before recording this, we are aware that this is not as amusing as we think it is.
I think it's pretty funny.
We can't stop at this point, right?
You've been listening to C-SPAN Radio's full coverage of the International Boogerman Summit. Now please stay tuned for 32 straight hours of an open microphone in the House of Representatives.
And this podcast, just like the game, ends with a wet fart. I'm sorry.
That is so good. Cool!
Rad!
Booger!